All right. Vital signs. What does the word vital mean? Where does that root word come from?
Life.
So these are signs of life. I think that's a song from the 80s, isn't it? All right. Signs of life. There are four classical ones. We've already introduced them in lab. What are they? Okay. TPR and BP. Temperature, pulse, respirations, blood pressure. There are some additional vital signs that are not considered classical, but they're considered vital signs. Height, weight, BMI, which is a combination of height and weight. It is kilograms divided by the surface area squared. So mass in kilograms divided by meters squared. If you want to do it in pounds, this is the formula for pounds. If a patient is supine or orthostatic blood pressure. So if you take what does the word supine mean, first of all? Okay, lying down on their back. By the way, you need to start logging into eCollege and looking at the health assessment stuff because there are vocabulary words that you're supposed to be memorizing. And I think you might be a day or two behind on those. So, yes, ma'am. Right, you should be able to log in now. So we'll test that in a few minutes. But make sure you're looking at those vocabulary words because we're going to be using them a lot upcoming. So supine means lying flat on the back. And then orthostatic blood pressure is when we take a person's blood pressure lying down, and then we take it again either sitting up or standing up. What are we looking for in that case? We're looking to see if there's a change in blood pressure. Now, how much change do we need before we consider it change? How many millimeters of mercury do you think?
Over
10. So if there's a 10 degree change, now as a person sits up or stands up, do you think the blood pressure is going to go up or down? Are you sure about that? All right, let's think about it. I'm lying down. Where's the blood in my body? All over. And I sit up or stand up. Now where's the blood? Rushing down to my feet. So blood pressure is going to... But if I measure the blood pressure here, now all the blood is down there. What's this pressure going to be?
Lower.
So it could take a while before my body can compensate and squeeze that blood back up to here. Not enough. We're not talking about jogging. We're talking about lying down to standing up. It's just the gravity. It's the gravity and your body's ability to squeeze that blood back up to your head. That's all we're talking about. So when a person goes from lying to standing up, you expect blood pressure to drop a little bit. If it drops how many millimeters? 10. We consider that orthostatic hypotension or orthostatic low blood pressure. And it can cause a person to become dizzy, lightheaded, and possibly fall. No, they could faint, but usually just fall. All right, so temperature. Core versus surface temperature. To take a true core temperature, what we do is we have a person swallow a temperature gauge, and we take the temperature inside their esophagus. Now, we usually don't do that in the hospital. It's usually only for research purposes. So what we actually take in the hospital are considered surface temperatures. Things that will change a person's temperature, exercise. Will exercise raise temperature or lower temperature? It'll raise temperature. Size, mass to body surface area. Are people who little or big? Who will lose heat faster? Okay, little people lose heat faster than big people, which is why things that live in the ocean in very cold climates tend to be big, like baleen whales and walruses. Or they do like the penguins and all huddle together, because even though they have small mass by themselves, together they make a big mass. All right, fat deposits. Things that live up in the Arctic have lots of, and we call that blubber. So fat performs an insulation purpose. So people who are fat will tend to lose heat more or less? Less than someone who is thinner. And the next one is the environment. Do you think you'll lose heat quicker or faster if you are in a hot room? Slower. If you're in a cold room, you'll lose heat faster. Now, will you lose heat faster in an 80-degree room? Sorry, in a 75-degree pool or a 70-degree room? 75-degree pool. Why? Water conducts heat faster than air. So even though the water is warmer, it will suck the heat out much quicker because it conducts the heat so much better. Now, in terms of your body, what are the two major things that your body does to, well, I guess three major things your body does to regulate heat? How does it produce heat, first of all? Okay, well, that's how it distributes heat. But how does it produce heat?
Shivering.
Okay, so you can produce it by shivering. What happens when a person shivers?
Your body
shakes. Yeah, but how? What's going on that allows a person to shiver? Okay, contraction. What allows contraction?
Muscle
what? What?
Okay,
the hypothalamus sends a signal down to the pituitary. The pituitary sends a signal down to the thyroid. The thyroid sends out thyroxin. Thyroxin goes to cells all over your body and tells them to?
Shiver.
No, not shiver.
Contract.
Not contract.
Do something.
Just do stuff. And what's that stuff called? It's an M word.
Movement.
Not movement. M-E. We do it to drugs, too. Metabolism. So just ordinary, everyday metabolism produces heat. That's how we get our heat. So it's the conversion of fatty acids and glucose into energy. That's what gives us heat. Now, that heat is then distributed by circulation in the blood. Now, can your body regulate heat with blood vessels alone? Yes. So, when a person gets hot, what does their face look like? Gets redder because they're vasodilating, putting that blood out onto the surface of the skin so you can radiate heat. Have you ever had a sunburn? You put your hand over the skin, what does it feel like? It's hot because those capillaries and arteries are opened up, allowing blood vessels to come to the top, and you're radiating heat. What's the other way we regulate heat? Sweat. So we put out some sweat, and then what happens? It evaporates. And as it evaporates, what you're literally doing is you're stealing coldness. What's happening is the air is stealing heat from your body in order to evaporate the water. The water is stealing heat from your body to evaporate itself. So the two major ways that we regulate heat are arteries doing what? Constricting or dilating, and the release of sweat. Now, what side of your body is responsible for those things? Which side of the nervous system? Say again? Sympathetic. So the sympathetic nervous system is in charge of artery vasoconstriction and dilation, and it's also in charge of sweat glands. All right, now, when we take a temperature, the most important thing is location. So when we document, we've got to make sure we document the location. Because if you've been taking oral temperatures all along, and then suddenly we take an ear temperature and it's different, is that a big cause of concern? Not necessarily, because we've been taking it a different way. So what you want to do then is go back and take it orally again and see if there's still a difference, or see if it was just because you're changing locations of taking it. All right, so we talked about all of these. Normal values, what did we say the normal value was? For temperature. What does your book say?
A 97 to 100?
Those are nice round numbers. I can go with that. All right. Next, we have pulse. It's measurements of heart activity. Now, heart cardiac output is the combination of stroke volume and heart rate. Yes. Yeah, generally speaking, rectal temperatures will be slightly higher than oral temperatures. Right, slightly lower. Yeah. We're not going to do that. What we're just going to do is we're going to record the number and the route. All right. So for pulse, cardiac output is determined by two factors. One is what we call stroke volume. What is stroke volume? The amount of volume that's pumped out of the heart in one squeeze or one stroke. So every time the heart squeezes, we call that a stroke. So the amount of blood that gets squeezed out in one stroke is called stroke volume. Now, if we multiply that by the number of strokes or the number of beats in 1 minute, we will have cardiac output. So heart rate is a measure of heart activity. Now, you can't determine cardiac output by heart rate alone, but you can determine, you know, how many squeezes per minute, and that's what we'll be looking at. So the three things we want to know are the rate, how many beats per minute, the regularity, regular or irregular, and the quality or strength. Now, we've talked about that in lab. Locations that we can palpate. Carotid, show me the carotid. Okay. Here and here. Radial, here. Femoral, it's right in here. You can also do what we call posterior tibial, which is right behind the ankle. And then dorsal pedalis, which is right on top of the foot. Those are the most commonly palpated locations in the hospital. And we will learn how to do all of them eventually. Some ones that can be palpated but less common is the ulnar on the right side, on the inside of the wrist, on the pinky side. Antecubital, which is right in front. Brachial, which is on the side. Popliteal, which is behind the knee. You can also palpate those, but less common. All right, normal values for heart rate. 60 to 100 with an average of 80. All right, respiration. Now, technically speaking, when we measure respirations, we're not really measuring respiration at all. What are we really measuring? I could say breaths, but the V word.
Ventilation.
So the act of squeezing air out and allowing air back in to the lungs is called ventilation. Respiration is actually the traveling and use of oxygen. So it's a little bit different, but we'll call it respirations because everyone else does. Now, it's a measure of ease of ventilation and respiratory demand. So the two things we want is the rate and the quality. So we've already talked about how to measure rate in lab. What about quality? What's the normal quality of breathing? What we call normal? It's a word that's already on there. It's an ease. So easy breathing is how most of us breathe. Very little effort to get in or out. What about someone who's doing this? What kind of breathing would that be? Labored breathing. So what about someone who's breathing like this? Shallow breathing. What about someone who's going deep breathing? Now, there's some additional breathing patterns that we'll talk about when we get to the respiratory section. But generally speaking, you want to say whether it's easy or labored, shallow, deep, or easy, which would just kind of be in the middle. Normal values, what are the normal values? 12 to 20.